From NPR News and Slate Magazine Online, this is Day to Day. I'm Madeline Brand. Coming up, the best way to give to victims of the tsunami. But first, the death toll from that disaster continues to rise, the count now officially above 120,000. The island nation of Sri Lanka has suffered more than 28,000 deaths. And while the relief efforts are proving difficult everywhere, getting help to survivors in Sri Lanka is being complicated by tensions between government troops and rebels. Joining us now is Martin Reg Khan, the Toronto Star's Asia correspondent, and he's in Sri Lanka. And I understand on the road somewhere in Sri Lanka. Martin, where are you and what have you seen today?
Well, we just pulled over on the road from Batticaloa in the eastern coast of Sri Lanka on the way to the capital, Colombo. It's a national day of mourning here in Sri Lanka. People of all faiths gathered in their temples, churches, Tamil Hindus, Christians, Muslims, Sinhalese, Buddhists, all trying to make sense of the worst natural disaster in this country's history. First of all, trying to recover from the shock of nearly 30,000 deaths here and more than 1.5 million people displaced, losing their homes, their fishing boats, and terrified, frankly, of going back to the sea and to lives that have been just completely shattered.
Now, you've also talked to people who've said that it's been difficult getting aid to the people who need it, people in the rebel areas.
That's right. The Tamil Rehabilitation Organization, which is the relief wing of the rebels, the Tamil Tigers, has given specific details of four incidents where their relief supplies were either blocked or diverted, confiscated by the Sri Lankan armed forces at checkpoints, and in one case diverted to a Buddhist temple for distribution, in another case confiscated, and in one case some of the poorest of the poor Sri Lankan Tamils, tea plantation workers had donated some relief supplies and had to struggle to keep possession of that and finally turn it over to the Tamil Rehabilitation Organization. This is a country that has been at war with itself for roughly two decades. So against that backdrop, it's not surprising that there are some serious tensions in some parts of the country. I should stress that there's no way of knowing that this is necessarily going on all over the place, and there are strong signs that people of various ethnic groups are trying to pull together, rally together, and do fundraising and distributions in this time of crisis. But let me just stress that there are lots of NGOs in the country that have lots of experience during the last 20 years of conflict at negotiating these obstacles, and the NGOs are assuring everyone that they will be able to, on their part, get food to the needy people.
Well, how does it work in that situation? Do they, if the government wants to block some of these resources and aid, how do these NGOs surmount that?
Well, it's when the Red Cross or Save the Children or other NGOs come in with food supplies from their own resources, or if they are handling donations from other governments, they may and probably will be and have said that they are having an easier time of getting it through. What's interesting is that there does seem to be a universal sense that the Sri Lankan government itself has been very slow off the mark. It's almost dysfunctional in that sense, and has almost turned over all of that work to domestic and foreign NGOs.
Martin Reg Khan is Asia correspondent for the Toronto Star, and he joined us from the road outside Colombo, Sri Lanka. Thank you very much for speaking with us.
Thank you.